satisfy my soul?
Who can satisfy my soul, Lord, like you? Who on earth could comfort me? Who could love me like you do? Who could ever be more faithful and true? I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You're my God. There is a fountain. Who is a king? Victorious warrior. He's the Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter, my very own. Blessed Redeemer who reigns upon the throne. Living water rain down your life on me, cleansing me, refreshing me with life abundantly. River full of life, I'll go wherever you lead. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You're my God. There is a fountain. Who is a king? Victorious warrior, the Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter, my very own. Blessed Redeemer who reigns upon the throne.
I love these words, living water.
Living water rain down your life on me, cleansing me, refreshing me with life abundantly. River full of life, I'll go wherever you lead. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You're my God. There is a fountain. Who is the king? Victorious warrior, the Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter, my very own. Blessed Redeemer who reigns upon the throne. Who reigns upon the throne. There is a fountain. Who is a king? Victorious warrior, the Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter, my very own.
Blessed Redeemer who reigns up. Sing that again.
The throne.
There is a fountain.
There is a fountain. Who is my king?
Who is the king?
Oh, yes.
Victorious warrior.
Yeah.
And Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter. My very own. Blessed Redeemer.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we lift up your name. Hallelujah. One more time.
There is a fountain. Who is the king? Victorious warrior and Lord of everything. My rock, my shelter.
Thank you, Lord.
My very own. blessed Redeemer who reigns upon the throne. Who reigns upon the throne.
Aren't you glad that He reigns? And that He's sovereign, that He's in control of it all. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're facing, God's in control. Amen? Especially when you surrender it to Him. You turn it over to Him. God, this is in your hands. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing from our special speaker tonight, one of our own. Brother Craig, come on, brother. We're praying for you. We appreciate you. Amen. Let's give Him a hand. Amen.
I do my own setup here. I brought my Amen corner, but they don't do heavy lifting, apparently. So I want to thank Pastor Dale for giving me this opportunity. I know that to be able to speak in a church is something I don't take very lightly, and you really have to trust the person that you're allowing to come up and to speak into the congregation. So Pastor Dale, thank you very much for seeing that in me and just giving me this opportunity. I just want to thank you for that. I'm sitting on a stool because a few times from teaching in Sunday school, I was like, which we're not really going to do much conversation tonight. I'm going to be doing most of the talking, but I was kind of wondering, why in the world isn't nobody really saying anything and engaging with me? And Crystal says, well, when you walk around, you kind of intimidate people. So I took that as godly counsel. And so I'm going to sit down some, but we'll see where the Spirit takes us from there. But I want to talk to y'all tonight about something that God laid on my heart quite a few months ago, actually. And whenever Dale shot me a text and asked me to speak, my mind went to something completely different. I was going to speak on something called The Gospel According to Buzz Lightyear. But that's a totally different sermon. That's not what you're getting tonight, so sorry. Now's your chance to leave if that's, you know, what you came expecting. But I wanted to start out with sharing a little story from where we wound up over at my sister's house. There was an impromptu cookout, and we were going to do some hot dogs and things like that and eat some ice cream. Well, we're inside the house, and then she looks at her son, my nephew, Bryson, and says, hey, Bryson, why don't you go start a fire? Now, he was about 10 years old at this point. He's in Boy Scouts, so he knows how to start a fire. So what he did was he went out to their little fire pit. He got some wood together. He got some smaller sticks and things to kind of have his kindling there. And then he got these two little rocks, and he started clicking them together, and there was these little sparks, and then he'd blow on it a little bit, and then there were some more sparks. He'd blow on it a little bit, and he's fanning it, and then you see some smoke, and then before long, there's a flame. And I was, you know, at the time, I was pretty cool with, I thought that was pretty awesome. If somebody would tell me to start a fire, I'd be like, well, where's the little clicker aim a flame thing? And I hope that this takes off, because I'm not a woodsy kind of guy. I'm more of a, you know, push a button and let the fire logs start on their own. My parents, they got a camper recently, and it's got an electric fireplace, so you just push a button and it's there and everything else. That's more my speed. But what was really, really interesting about that in looking back at that was when he was told to start a fire, he didn't just go out with those two little rocks to make the sparks and just start clicking away at the ashes. Because, I mean, it's a fire pit. That's where a fire goes. So there should be stuff in there already to start a fire. But there was something interesting, because the ashes aren't really going to ignite, are they? The ashes are just going to be dry. They're a reminder of what used to be there, which was a fire, many before it. but they're not really going to do much as long as far as keeping you warm or even having flames and stuff. And right before church, I even went out to our little fire pit out here. I got a jar of ashes. They're just black soot. I didn't think it through when I went to get them. I was using my bare hands, and it was fogging up everywhere. And, of course, I've got my good shoes on. I really don't want to get dirt on them. But this is it. What you're looking at is the remnants of many, 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 many fires. But you're also looking at a lot of memories. I remember some really great times that we've had outside around this fire pit, roasting marshmallows, cooking hot dogs. Sometimes the fire would be so big you couldn't hardly get close to it because it was just so engulfing and raging. But there's a lot of memories here. But no matter how hard I try, I can't go get a flame and restart this, can I? Because what's here is past. It's gone. So I want to speak to y'all tonight on the idea of ashes don't burn. Ashes don't burn. Wow, thank you. Didn't expect to see that up there. Well, you're on it. But let's just say a word of prayer, and then I'll go into a bit more of the meat of what God's given me for us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for this time and this opportunity that we have to come together. I pray that you would give us one mind, one accord. May we stay focused on you and what you have to say for us. Lord, I consecrate my mouth, my vocal cords, my lungs, my mind, my heart, my soul, my body before you tonight. May I speak as from the throne. May I speak under the authority that you have granted me by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray for this congregation tonight that you would open up their ears, their hearts, their minds, and their souls to be attentive and receptive of everything that you have to say to them. And God, we bless you and we thank you in advance for what it is that you're going to do. In your wonderful and holy name, we do pray. Amen. So in preparation for this, I just kept thinking about that. Ashes don't burn, ashes don't burn, ashes don't burn. And in the Bible, ashes are mainly referenced in the Old Testament. You may have heard of sackcloth and ashes. And also ashes are what remains on the altar after a sacrifice. So ashes were utilized for two main things within the Old Testament, either mourning or for atonement. Mourning or atonement. Job used sackcloth and ashes when he was in the midst of all that he was going through, scraping boils with a broken clay pot in ashes, and he was mourning because he was saying, I don't know what I've done, but if I've done something against you, God, I want to mourn that. I want to bring it to the forefront so that it can be taken care of. And then you had the other end of it. Under the Levitical law, there were some times when the ashes, after a sacrifice was put on the altar and it was burnt, the ashes would be gathered together and utilized on the person as an act of atonement. So you have purposes for the ashes. But the main thing to pull from that is that these ashes were never just collected at the end of a sacrifice and say, okay, bring these back next year, you should be good. You had to bring a fresh sacrifice. You had to bring something new. You had to bring something to actually burn on the altar. And that's the thing. See, ashes, though you can't restart them, they can still have purpose. Ashes make a great fertilizer. See, there's a method of farming once a field is completely done with for a season. It's called slash and burn, where they cut down, say, corn stalks, and then they set that on fire. They let it burn. They make sure it's controlled. And then the ashes that are in there, they till all that in there, and it restores nutrients into the ground so that fresh growth can come up. So ashes have purpose, but ashes aren't intended for a fire. They can smolder, but they're not intended to start a fire. So when I was thinking more and more about this and pondering and asking God, I'm like, what's the main thing that you want to get across with the fact of ashes don't burn. In our studies, as Crystal and I were going through CAMS, one of the ministers there who was teaching, he came across to us the idea and the difference between tradition and traditionalism. Tradition and traditionalism. And this was how he defined them. Tradition is the living faith of the dead. There's nothing wrong with traditions. Traditions are great. How many here put up a Christmas tree every year? Okay. Some may even put up multiple Christmas trees, and that's fantastic. But does Christmas exist because the tree's up? No. You can have Christmas without the tree. The tree is just a tradition. So you don't need it in order to celebrate. You don't need it in order to have that season, that reason for it being there. And it's all because Christmas doesn't exist because of the tree. The tree exists because of Christmas. Traditions don't, yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet. Not ready to go there yet. Now, traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. In other words, we do what we do because it's the way it's always been done, for the sake of it being done. Biblically speaking, the Pharisees had a problem with this part, traditionalism, because they were looking at the Levitical law and they had twisted it and contorted it so much and made all these unnecessary bylaws too that they totally missed out on what God was really trying to say. One of the ways that they really even tried to confront Jesus on it was they came against him whenever he was performing miracles on the Sabbath. I want to go to Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 through verse 6. And it says here, another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. So it says another time. This is not the first time Jesus has done this, okay? Some of them, the Pharisees, were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. So they're just waiting for him to mess up. They're like, okay, we've got our traditions up here. We've got our traditionalism. Let's see if he goes against this. Jesus said to the man with a shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Jesus knew what was going down. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at the stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Jesus was totally messing up some things that they had set up and had in place for centuries. And they were trying everything that they could to come against him. Jesus did a lot of things differently. However, what I really love is that he never lost the foundation of the word. Everything Jesus spoke, everything Jesus did, was from the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Because you can't name for me a gospel that Jesus spoke out of. He was the gospel. He was in the midst of the gospel. He was the history of the gospel. So that's what I love about it. He spoke and stayed true to the truth. And he pointed them back to that. He's like, you know what? You've totally forgotten your foundation. You've totally forgotten what used to be. And you've totally distorted why the book was written. Because they kept asking, well, what about this law? What about that law? What about this law? And then all Jesus does is quote to them from the book of Leviticus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because if you get those two things right, guess what? It's easy not to steal. It's easy not to kill. It's easy not to covet. It's easier to obey your parents. It makes these things flow better. That's what he was talking about. He's like, you can't sacrifice the foundation for the sake of what you've always done. We can't sacrifice the foundation of the church just because we do things the same way over and over and over. You can't go out to this fire pit and keep striking a match and throw it in there and expect a fire. You got to gather some wood. You've got to put it in there. There's some work to be done. You got to get some kindling. You got to get down there. You got to make sure air gets to it. You got to get a little bit of a flame going, and then it takes over. But there's got to be fuel there for it to burn first and foremost. That's why we need to be careful that we don't get so upset over the method that we miss the message that's there. Jesus had a new method for the message. John the Baptist spoke of it. He said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, last I remember, he was beheaded. Okay? Because his method, though the message was right, his method wasn't liked. Ooh, that was good right there. I'm going to say that one again. Though the message was right, his method wasn't liked. We got to be careful that we don't get so caught up in the method that we miss that the message is truly there. To even reference Mark chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. New wine into new wineskins. Not that the old wineskins didn't serve a purpose for the time that they were used. It's just that the old wineskins, it's okay for them to rest. Because things in their season, seasons come and seasons go. You don't need to keep trying to revive a season just because you liked some of the characteristics of it. But see, we tend to, when we're in summer, we're complaining about the heat. When we're in winter, we're complaining about the cold. How often do we do that with the things of church? I'm in this season, but it ain't like this season used to be. It ain't like this season's gonna be. Be in the season God has you. Be in the new wineskin. Allow that new wineskin to be filled up. Because, yeah, you can try to pour it in the old wineskin, but my friend, his word is very clear. It's going to burst, and you're not going to get anywhere. Methods change. The message should never change. I'm not going to stop spreading the message of Christ. My method may look a little bit different. God has opened up doors of opportunity for me to participate with some friends of mine in the African American community, and we do what's called hip hop nights. And let me tell you something. I know the words hip hop may have a stigma and a stereo around them, but it's just a genre of music, and there's a huge difference between holiness and personal preference. Big, huge difference. I'm fine if your personal preference is the Gaithers. I can get down with the Gaithers. I love listening to them. I'm fine if your personal preference is Hillsong. I can get down with Hillsong. I'm fine if your personal preference is Kurt Franklin. I can get down with Kurt Franklin. But let's not get so caught up, once again, in the method that we forget the message that God is trying to put out there. Because, my friend, we're supposed to be meeting people where they are, but we're not supposed to leave them there. The key there is repentance. We draw them to that, and that's a foundation right there. That's something that's been passed on right there. That's something that can never die out. That's what we need to hold on to. So I'm not going to stop speaking about God, but don't get upset if my method looks a little bit different. And we shouldn't get upset at each other with individual ministries either. Because what God makes you passionate about, it may not be what somebody else is passionate about. And that's okay. That's totally fine. We don't need to be so much fighting and bickering and say, well, this used to be this way or this needs to be this way. You know what? Why don't we step back a little bit and just let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do and take out the legalism of things and the religion of things and get down to religion, to relationship, and maybe we'll see a shift within our congregations, within our body, within our communities, within our individual homes, and within our individual relationship and walk with Christ. So let's not mistake these things. Let's not. Foundations, it's okay to have foundations. But I want to encourage us to not try to rekindle those ashes. The ashes are gone. They served a purpose. They were necessary. They laid a foundation for where we are now. If it wasn't for these men and women that gathered almost a century ago in the mountains of the Appalachians here and just wanted to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as they saw in the Bible that those in the upper room experienced, that we would not even have this congregation, this church today. There's a rich heritage and a rich history. There was a lot of persecution that they went through as well. One of their first church buildings was burnt to the ground by the community that they were in. I mean, that's history right there. You go overseas, there are people that are being killed. Christians have the highest body count of martyrs of 2016 of any religion. Don't tell me that Satan doesn't have a target after us. Don't tell me that somebody is trying to squelch this, because it is trying to be squelched. We're seeing it in a different way here in America, but I can tell you something. It is happening. It is happening. They're saying hate speech. How long is it before they start saying, I don't like what you're saying in your church? My friends, it's coming. Today it may be a statue. Tomorrow it might be our steeple. So my friends, we need to be all the more going after God, showing the true love of Him, because if we leverage love, we can't fail. We can't fail. My mind's going to, I was watching a video online, and there was a Muslim student who was stepped up to this panel of individuals, and she asked them, how come the minority of Muslims get glorification because they're the violent ones, but what about us that are peaceful? And what one of the panelists said really struck me. She said, she gave all these statistics of how many were in the this Islamic fascism and all of this stuff, and those that were doing the hateful things that this young girl spoke of. And she gave all that, and she said, with all of that, the quiet majority was insignificant because they couldn't combat what happened. I don't know about you. I don't believe that the disciples of Christ need to be a silent majority any longer. If we will speak in love, if we will speak in truth, if we will meet people where they are, if we stand on the foundation of the cross, if we stand on the foundation of Him crucified, dead, buried 3 days, and rose again, then my friends, we can't go wrong. We need to step into that role, though. Nobody else is going to do it. Another thing that God, that Jesus did while He was here that was a different method, though it still stuck with the foundation that was even in the Levitical law, was the idea of sacrifice. Because He said, there needs to be an atonement for sin of all humanity. I'm going to give that atonement of sin. I'm going to be that atonement. I'm going to be that sacrifice. But my means is going to look a bit different. Because you can burn a calf all day long. You can burn a goat all day long. You can burn a dove all day long, but that dove is not going to assemble itself together and get up off of that sacrifice, off of that sacrificial altar. Jesus said, I am going to get up out of that sacrificial altar. They're going to murder me. I'm going to lay dead for 3 days, but I'm not going to stay there. That's how my method's going to change. But the message is still the same. The message is still the same because a sacrifice was needed. I am not against tradition by any means. I am not. And I do not want it to come against that. I don't want it to come across that way either. And I'm not saying traditions have to die in order to move on. But what does need to die is our pride. What does need to die is our selfishness. And that can be done. You know, a foundation can be set of repentance. And that's where it truly begins. I'm going to ask Tommy to come on up to the piano here. I didn't know how long or short I would speak. I just wanted to give what God had really put on my heart. I'll leave these ashes here. But I'm going to give us a time of prayer right now. And I've asked Tommy for three specific songs. And the first song is an oldie, but it is such a goodie. And I believe that it's going to remind us of the foundation that Christ laid. As he's playing, as he's singing, if you want to come forward to this altar, you can. If you want to make an altar where you are, go for it. There's no true, real method here. I don't care what your method is right now. I just want you to get in touch with Christ. I want you to get in touch with him. And I want you to have a time of just remembrance and repentance. Remembrance and repentance. Go ahead, Tommy.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for the world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will
foundation's been laid. The ashes are there. We're not getting rid of them, but the ashes are there. What we're going to do now is we're going to gather some wood. We're going to gather something that Christ can fuel with his flame. And it's going to be praise. Christ dwells in our praise. dwells in our praise. In order for a fire to start, there has to be something that can be lit. Once again, you can't just keep thriving on the Lord saved me. Remember it, don't forget it. But God has more for you. He has life and life to the fullest. So we're going to gather some wood right now. We're going to gather something that God can burn with praise right now. So let's do so with this song. A living sacrifice. And once a sacrifice is laid on the altar, once a sacrifice is laid on a foundation, once wood is gathered on the ashes, then the flame can come and ignite. See, this is where change starts happening. This is where change begins. This is where lives change. This is where homes change. This is where relationships and marriages change. This is where churches change. This is where communities change. This is where states change. This is where nations change. It starts with the sacrifice. But the fire of revival. We've gone through repentance. We entered into praise. Because of those two, God has a promise to fulfill, and that is granting us the fullness of His glory. Hallelujah. Sing it, Tommy.
Fullness of eternal promise, stirring in your sons and daughters,
stirring for centuries,
earth revealing heaven's wonder.
Out.
Spirit come, Spirit come. What you spoke is now unfolding. all your children shall behold it. Dreams awaken in this moment. Spirit come, Spirit come. Pour it out, let your love run over. Here and now, let your glory fill this house. Pour it out, let your love run over. Let your glory fill this house.
Now the world awaits your presence.
The power, church.
And this power is within us.
That's what happened at Pentecost. It was power, y'all.
We will rise to be your witness. Spirit come. Spirit come. Spirit come,
church, he's here.
Spirit come,
Lord, pour it out.
Let your love run over.
Here and now.
Here and now.
Yes, Lord.
Let your glory fill this house. Pour it out. Let your love run over. Here and now. Let your glory fill.
Tongues of fire, testifying of the Son, one desire.
Spirit come, Spirit come, speak revival. Prophesy like it is done, one desire. Spirit come, Spirit come.
That's the fire, church. He had to have something to ignite. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Speak revival. Prophesy like it is done. One desire.
Spirit come, Spirit come. Oh,
I like this last one.
Pour it out.
Yes.
Let your love run. Lord, here and now, let your glory fill this house. Pour it out, let your love run over. Lord, here and now, let your glory fill this house.
Lord, pour it out,
pour it out, let your love run over. Here and now, let your glory fill this house. Pour it out, let your love run over. Here and now, let your glory fill this house.
Let our hearts continue burning.
Make this your prayer, church.
For our King is soon returning.
Yes, amen.
As we hold to this assurance.
Let's keep burning.
Spirit come, Spirit come, Spirit come, Spirit come. Pour it out, let your love run over. Here and now. Pour it out, let your love run over. Here and now, let your glory fill this house. Lord, pour it out, let your love run over. Here and now, let your glory fill this house.
Pour it out, let your love run over. Here and now.
Pray that with the word that was spoken tonight, that you'll never look at a fire the same again. at any time you see a fireplace or a bonfire or something burning, that you'll go back to. The ashes don't burn, but it does lay a foundation. And you've got to have something to fuel the fire that comes. We are the ones that God wants to fuel. God wants to grant us the fire, but we got to have fuel there. I want to thank each and every one of you for your attention, for your obedience to what Christ had for us tonight. And I just thank you. I'm so humbled by this experience and this opportunity with y'all. I love each and every one of you. Some of you I know your names, some of you I don't, but that's okay. Because we have a unifying factor, and that's our King. That's our King. We're not orphans. We're not abandoned. We're royalty, y'all. Don't get much better than that. And God has so much for us. And He gave us so much already. And He's got more in store. Thank y'all very much. Y'all be blessed. Pastor.
Praise the Lord. How many of you enjoyed this word tonight? Let's give the Lord praise, and let's thank Craig for